The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM,
another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, one of the things I pride myself on doing this show is if I'm wrong, I'll come out and admit I was wrong. I thought that the San Diego Padres offer to Manny Machado in the end wasn't going to be accepted. Maybe they were just throwing something out there, see if it would stick, see if there was something that could entice him, maybe, you know, just get him interested. But I didn't know that they would sign Manny Machado, and they certainly did. 10 years, $300 million, and every single time we said maybe Major League Baseball doesn't want to go into that next level of reaching into the $300 million, $30 million a year mark again for the two players in free agency and Manny Machado and Bryce Harper. Well, that's thrown out the window. I think the happiest guy right now has got to be Bryce Harper, because if Machado gets this, Harper could be getting even more money if one of these teams starts figuring out what they want to offer for Bryce. But the San Diego Padres have come in and have taken Manny Machado off the board. Did you have that? Because I didn't. I thought in the end it was going to be a team with major dollars and good money behind them, and I didn't see San Diego coming. We'll talk about this coming up because it means a lot for the Padres in terms of where their future is, because it's not just adding Manny Machado to this. There are still some pieces that they need. Also, their future is pretty bright, so we'll have that coming up as well. And we'll also get into Bryce Harper a bit, because what does this mean for Bryce Harper now that he is now the lone big agent, a big free agent that's still left out on the board? Where does he go? Do the Phillies make a move? Do other teams now make an offer? Maybe teams that were in the running for Machado, do they turn their attention now to Bryce Harper? At the dollars that they wanted for Manny, do they now make even a stronger pitch for Bryce Harper, if they've even made a pitch to Bryce Harper in the past? But I think this is something that I got wrong, because I really did think the economics of baseball was calming down a bit. And to see a team like San Diego, not a Yankees, not a Red Sox, not a Dodgers, not a White Sox, not any teams with sort of the big money, they were the ones that got Manny Machado. They were the ones willing to go to the $30 million a year mark for a young player like this. They were the ones to do it. A team that was in last place in the NL West last year, they were the ones making the move. All right, we'll talk about what this means for Major League Baseball coming up next. You can also join in at 800-777-2907 on Twitter at Tony D Radio or at Ron Culver. And that's Ron with two N's, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so the big news yesterday, Manny Machado going to the Padres. The Padres. I believe, Ron, we have a clip of you and I talking about this possibility. I would be so shocked if he lands with the Padres. I would be blown away.
Yeah. I hope it happens.
I do. Well, yeah, I do too. So we did say we hope it happens, but I was shocked when this went down.
That was a fun little news drop yesterday.
I thought this is how cynical I am with some of these sports franchises, like especially in baseball where there's no salary cap, that sometimes these teams like the Padres or the Rays, because they've done it once or twice, they'll make news by making an offer that's not real. The agent and the player know it, but the team wants to make a little bit of noise like, hey, we're offering, but it's not real. Like, it's not taken seriously, but the fan base goes, hey, we're in the running. We got some money to spend. And deep down, the office is like, no, we don't have any money to spend. We're just throwing it out there so we can fool you into thinking we do. And then we'll just, we lost out to the Dodgers or we lost out to the White Sox.
And that's always been the Padres.
Yeah, right? I mean, that's...
I can't think of a time when the Padres actually spent money on a player.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, right? I mean, even Eric Hosmer, it wasn't like a, was Eric Hosmer a gigantic deal that they what they brought him for?
No,
I didn't think it was.
What was it like?
I'll have to look that up, but I don't think it was.
I want to say it was around the number of like 5 to 6 years for $140 million.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, that's because
I didn't think it was that
price.
Big.
That's a decent
price. No, don't get me wrong, but it's not this.
Yeah, it's not. Hey, we're gonna just drop $300 million on you.
So my first thought, and this is, I feel bad because this should be a celebration for San Diego Padres fans that they landed a strong caliber player like this. But my first thought was, where is this going to be 5 or 6 years from now when they're trying to get rid of him and this money, and they're moving, they're like begging teams to take this guy and the rest of his contract.
Well, he has an opt out.
That was my first thought.
He has an opt out after 5 years. The fifth year.
5 years, they can opt out of it. So, yeah, maybe they get to the 5 year mark. They should. So,
but he doesn't seem like the type of player is going to opt out. He's like,
I don't think so.
You know, give me my money.
I'm going to roll with this.
Stick around.
I'm going to stick around for the $30 million because in 5 years he'll be 31, and I don't think anybody's going to give a 31-year-old guy $37 million.
Could he be the next Bobby Bonilla contract?
It could be.
It
could be.
Year six comes around, and they go, you know what, Manny, can we restructure this? We're going to pay you until the 22nd century.
Well, this is what you want, right? Like, if you're Manny Machado, you're set now. You're getting paid until you're 36 years old, $30 million a year. You're going to get $300 million. So you're good. Right. There's no second contract you're playing for. You're not going to get any more than that. This is it. You'll at 36, you'll get $5 million a year or whatever it is you get to close out the rest of whatever career, however it closes out. But you're good. So there's no secondary contract to go after. What blew me away yesterday was the reality of what it was, kind of the opposite of what I was saying yesterday. Yesterday, I was sort of lamenting the fact that, boy, baseball really is showing its two-tiered system with the haves and the have-nots. Here's a historically have-not that just played with the big boys and won. They won this. They're a last-place team, and they won this. And they won this because I think they brought out – one, the weather is great. Two, they've got a young team, and they've got one of the best farm systems in baseball. And I think Machado and his people saw, if I go to San Diego and I'm paired up with Will Myers and Eric Hosmer, and Hosmer has a better season, and that team, which needs pitching and needs pitching badly, if they can get pitching, we can be a real strong force for a couple of years if the talent in the farm system is real. And everybody who follows that is telling me it is. You know, everybody that knows that better than I is telling me their farm system is one of the best in baseball. Now, I've heard this before with other teams and have not seen it play out in the major league level. So I'll hold that out. But let's make no mistake. Why this is a big deal is because Machado, again, this is the contract. He doesn't even really have to play up to it for other than his own expectations. He's not getting cut. He's not going to lose his job. He's not going to lose his money. He gets this money no matter what. But he's going to notorious is probably the best word I can come up with, pitcher's park.
Yeah.
This is not a hitter's park at all. at all. He's not going to put up these monster numbers at home. Nobody puts up monster numbers at home in San Diego. That is a pitcher's park by definition, a pitcher's park.
Unless he gets really, really comfortable going down that left field line.
Right.
I mean, that's probably true.
That's probably true.
It's got to be throwing darts. I mean, that park, I mean, the left field porch is in just enough that if you keep hooking it down the left field line, you're going to be fine. But, I mean, that's throwing darts.
It is throwing darts. But isn't he a left-handed hitter? So if he's left-handed, it's...
No, he's right-handed.
Is he right-handed? Yeah. I'm sorry. I thought he was left-handed.
Yeah, because yesterday all you saw were, you know, in his highlight reel was all the amazing plays he made during last year's World Series where hit a ball that hit off the top of the wall, but he's trotting down to first base. Easy double. He stretched it into a single.
This is going to be interesting. Look, that division is tough, too. The Dodgers aren't going anywhere. The Rockies are really good. They've got some of the best pitching in the National League. You know, the Diamondbacks are taking a year off because they got rid of Paul Goldschmidt and A.J. Pollock, and so they're taking a year off. They got rid of everybody. No. The Giants are up and down, but never terrible. So this is Padres got a big, huge hill to climb.
But that was the thing, like all the talk yesterday after the Padres went after and landed Machado was like, you know, they have a young farm system. They have great talent. There's good pitching talent. Then they were saying, you know, then you would hear someone say, maybe they're not even done. Maybe now that they have this, they're going to go after a Dallas Keuchel. And I'm like, where are they?
Wow.
Where are they getting this money? And then, you know, then the following year, they're like, because Manny wants to play shortstop, but they have a real need at third base. And so they keep saying, you know, Manny's probably one of the better third basemen in the league. Well, you know, next year they said, well, you know, they could make a play if they're doing this. If they're all in, they could move Machado over to shortstop and then go after Nolan Arenado and bring him to play third there.
Man,
I'm like, if you go after Nolan, man, that's another easy $250 million a year. Or $250 million.
Yeah, Nolan is going to be a big, big money.
Yeah, it's
going to
be huge. So this... like, what's next? Are you just going to go after Mike Trout too? And it's like, you know, let's just keep bringing all the we'll become the Yankees of Southern California.
I had to look it up. I looked up Hosmer's numbers. He's finalized an 8-year deal, $144 million. Okay. So not quite 20. That's good. So I don't want to put that in a bad perspective. That's nearly $20 million a year. But it's not. I mean, it's. How they pull off this $300 million deal. This is a franchise. Let's not forget. This is a franchise we talked about over the summer that was offering the, you know, go to the game until they lose bit. Remember that?
Yep.
What was that deal? No, until they win.
Until they win.
You get to buy a pass that would allow you to go to Padres games, and you get to see at least three victories or something. If they kept losing, you got to keep going until you saw at least three wins or something along those lines.
And it was something ridiculous too. It was like $10 a month or something.
Yeah, it was some dirt cheap price. Yeah, to go see. And now they've come up with $30 million a year from Machado. I'm more than happy. I started the show by saying I am more than happy to admit when I'm wrong. I learned this very early in my career. I had really good mentors that told me, hey, suck it up when you're wrong. If you say a guy is going to be great and he stinks, just say it and move on. I was wrong about this. I didn't see the Padres as a player in this deal at all, and it was laughable to me yesterday. Absolutely laughable to me yesterday.
Not only that, but the other fun thing about it was that I don't know who, somebody in the Padres organization or a beat writer for the Padres had a tweet out that, yes, the Padres are officially out of the Bryce Harper sweepstakes.
You
think?
Yeah. Oh, what if they come in and steal? If they come in and get Bryce Harper, then I'm calling some sort of mattress store collusion.
Exactly.
All right, I'm going down some weird conspiracy road with the Padres and how they're making their money.
Bernie Madoff? Is he back? Is he back in baseball?
Exactly. Some massive pyramid scheme that the front office is running. I mean, because that's crazy. I mean, the Machado numbers don't even add up to me half the time. I thought let's go back to the hospital. Customer deal for a second. 8 years, 144. That seems to be a level San Diego is comfortable at, right? That seems to be the kind of money. Okay, the Padres can afford that, right?
And that's a big money contract for him.
Right? Like $18 million a year. Okay, that's good. Well, that works. $30 million a year. That's awesome. Good for them. Golly. And they claim they're not done. All right. Well done. Good division now. You know what, though? This is another thought, and I've got this coming up next. If you thought Major League Baseball had a problem in one particular area, now they've got it double. I'll tell you what it is next as we roll along at SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM. At O'Reilly Auto Parts, you're guaranteed to get the everyday low price on the parts you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts will match any local auto parts store prices on any like item. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the parts you need at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. All right, so Major League Baseball, one of the things that we talked about over the summer was one of the big issues that Major League Baseball had. And I don't know if you remember, Ron, but this was like a talking point for like, I don't know, 4 or 5 days, right? The inability of Major League Baseball to market Mike Trout out in Los Angeles, playing for the Angels, still couldn't get Mike Trout national attention. Manny Machado played in Baltimore. Manny Machado played for the LA Dodgers, led them to World Series. If the Padres don't get pitching, if the Padres' young talent takes longer to come up, he's going to disappear there on a national level. He's going to disappear in San Diego. You'd think they can't market Mike Trout? They can't market Manny Machado in San Diego if they're mired in mediocrity for the next couple of years. I don't know if this is going to hit Rob Manfred's desk or not. I don't know if Machado is on the same kind of level in terms of, but if he's one of the big free agents, right, and you've got, so here's Major League Baseball getting in the news during even the NFL postseason every now and then, you know, where are the free agents going? Where's Machado and Bryce Harper going to sign? But if your big concern in the Major League Baseball office in New York is we can't market Mike Trout. We should be able to market Mike Trout, but we seem to can't. How are you going to do that with Manny Machado in San Diego? Especially if the Padres don't win. Are people in Connecticut, Miami, Atlanta, Nashville, are they going to stay up to watch Thursday night baseball on ESPN to see Machado take bats at 1 o'clock in the morning? Unlikely. So from Machado's standpoint, he's getting the best end of the deal. $300 million. Great weather. Yo, it's just great deal for him. Baseball? All right. Wish it was the Phillies. Wish it was the White Sox. Wish it was the way. So if you, again, go back to their issue last year of Mike Trout, it's now double with Manny Machado. If Bryce Harper goes off to the, I don't know, San Francisco Giants, forget it. You're right. The three big stars in Major League Baseball and people in the majority of the population that lives in the East and Central time zones wouldn't be able to see them, wouldn't care, wouldn't be able to watch them. So there you go. But I like this deal for the Padres. I can't believe they made this deal. I still can't believe they made this deal. But it's not as far-fetched to believe that the Padres can turn things around quickly. Again, people who know this better than me are saying that their farm system is very good. If they can get pitching, now that's the key. Their pitching is terrible, and they play at a pitcher's park. So marry that for however you want. But there is some young talent there. Hosmer's coming off a year is all right. I mean, it could have been better, but you still got some good talent on that baseball team. You still get some young guys that can really turn around. I think Ann Kinsler on their team is the only guy that's going to hit 30. Will Myers is a really good young up and coming player. So it's a tough division because the Dodgers aren't going away, right? The Dodgers, you know, went to the World Series and have won their division 6 straight years. The Rockies finished 1 game out of that, and they have got a very, very good pitching staff and a great lineup of bats. The Giants, still a threat. Arizona's probably going to take a year off. The Padres have an uphill battle to go after in terms of being competitive in their division, but they've just added a major piece to help them do that. And there might be enough attrition there where now the Padres are a team you're going to have to reckon with if you're the Dodgers and you're the Rockies or even the Giants for that matter. And playing the Padres may not be as smooth sailing as you may think. But in a couple of years, if their farm system is correct and is right, then this is a team that's going to be very formidable down the road. But if you look at the Padres' history, right, this is a team that's never won a World Series. This is not only a team that's never won a World Series, they've only been in two. The 1984 season when they got beaten up by the Tigers in 5 games, and the Yankees series in 1998 where they lost in 4. Their best player is Tony Gwynn. They've never really had a superstar home run hitter except Ken Caminiti in a steroid time in the mid-90s when he won the MVP. So they're not a baseball team that is rich in history, right? But at the same time, if they've been building slowly what we think they're building, then Machado and his people, it's not just about the money. When they say it's about the money, I always believe it. When they tell you it's not about the money, I always believe it's about the money. But in this case, they can also make the case that, yes, of course, $300 million is the reason we signed, but we're not going into oblivion. My player isn't going to disappear on a bad team. He's not going to be the best player on a terrible team that we've seen a few times in Major League Baseball, where guys go after the dollars and they don't realize where they're going and what the economic makeup of where they're going. If the Padres are serious here, and this is a big if the Padres are serious that they can still come up with revenue to afford one big arm, or maybe two great or good, not great arms, if they're bringing out the economics that they can do this, then Machado's landed in a really good spot. Now, you could be cynical like I do. I get with times where a guy will go to a team, he gets his $300 million, never see him in the postseason, never see him in the playoff, you know, the World Series, never competing for a championship, never late in a race for a wild card, just sort of disappears on a really, really bad team. That still can happen here. But the way this is being framed, and the way this is being looked at, is that Machado has landed in a really good spot. Not maybe today, but way down the road, if you're looking at the long-term play. The pitching is going to keep San Diego from being competitive in this division. I don't care what kind of year Machado has. The pitching is going to keep them out of the race for the National League West. But if they get that better, and again, they play in a notorious pitcher's park. I mean, when you rank the parks in Major League Baseball from hitters, you know, to pitchers, like if you go hitters on top all the way down to, you know, 30 teams, San Diego, Petco Park is like 28th or 29th in terms of being a hitter's park. And it's 1 and 2 in terms of being a pitcher's park. So if they can convince some guys to come to a pitcher's park and pitch, okay, then now they've got something to play with. So again, I don't think this is Machado going to a team that is going to just watch him hit home runs and basically disappear. But I think this is a team that can be formidable down the road in a couple of years. And I got to be honest with you, it took some research into this to figure that out, because the Padres don't scream this. The Padres don't, this isn't a thing everybody knew. This is the thing you had to dig a little bit. You had to kind of reach in and go, okay, where do the Padres stand? What exactly are their economics? What exactly is their farm system? Why would he want to go there? It's not just money and weather, is it? Well, maybe it is money and weather, all right? I mean, who wants to play in humid St. Louis when you can play in 77 degrees San Diego in the summertime? It's great. But at the same time, he's going to a team that has a plan, and that's big. That's a big deal. And so I give the Padres all the credit in the world, because not only did they shock me, I think they shocked a lot of people in baseball by being able to pull this deal off. As we mentioned earlier, they signed Eric Hosmer last year, $144 million. That seems to be the level where I think a San Diego team would be. A $300 million level? I pegged that to about four or five teams, and that was it. And the Padres weren't even close to that list. I mean, would you be surprised if Bryce Harper went to the Tampa Bay Rays? Like if I don't know, the Miami Marlins offered him $300 million.
That you're drawing the line. If Miami does anything where they're signing free agents, that's the one where I would be ultimately shocked, because they have sent how many MVPs away?
Yeah, but my overall point is that this is kind of that kind of level of shock where
look,
these are the teams that are in play here. These are the teams that historically have been in play for $300 million deals, or in the discussion of $300 million deals, right? I know the Marlins gave Giancarlo Stanton that to start his process, but they didn't keep it. But the reality is, then there are teams that can't afford that. And the Padres blurred that line and kicked themselves into that. And I still am processing how in the world they did that. Look, this is the thing that is mesmerizing to me. When the entire Major League Baseball media is talking about how much the economics of baseball are kicking back down to the norm, right? Justin Verlander talking about free agency is broken. Well, is it really broken? if in the end Machado got the $300 million? Like, it, to me, everybody who, including myself, who thought that there's going to be a new level-headed economics in baseball, well, it just took one team to go, nah, we're out, you know, here's $300 million. And now if you're Bryce Harper, you know you're getting $300 million. There is going to be somebody out there that's going to do it. If the Padres are going to do it and get the kind of run that they're getting, somebody absolutely is going to pitch a more money for Bryce Harper. He is sitting around waiting for this. He's loving this. And that, to me, is where we got it all wrong. All right, coming up next, big rivalry in college basketball. How much would it cost you to go see Duke and North Carolina at Cameron? You'd be surprised how much it costs. Next, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Hey, it's Duke in North Carolina tonight. You may have heard that's a good rivalry, I guess, in college basketball. No, it is the rivalry in college basketball. It is the one rivalry, I have to admit. Like, I always ask this question to people. What's the one rivalry you respect that you're not a part of? Right, because we all love our own rivalries, right? Whenever I do a rivalry segment, I always get like, man, you don't even begin to understand what it's like when blah, blah, blah plays blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll do this all day, right? Everybody thinks their rivalry is super awesome. Duke, North Carolina, to me, is the top rivalry of the school rivalries that I respect. It is because of the amazing coaches that have gone through, both, you know, with Mike Krzyzewski going up against from Dean Smith, Roy Williams. The list of great players that have been in this game. So this tonight's game is at Cameron, which is a very, very small venue. If you've never been there, it's really tiny. It's amazingly small. It kind of shows up on TV, but until you've like seen it, you're like, wow, this is not big. So there's not a lot of seats. And a lot of the seats go to the students who camp out at Krzyzewskiville to get their student tickets. And you better be in that tent for a long period of time, because if you leave the tent, you're out. So the cheapest tickets to get into tonight's Duke North Carolina game, at least online, are selling for $2,500. That's the cheapest ticket to get in. Now, this is about $170 less than the least expensive ticket to the Super Bowl. So we're already talking Super Bowl level tickets for a college basketball game in the regular season, albeit Duke, North Carolina, that is not for any championship other than team pride. It's not for the ACC title. It's not to win the national championship. It's not for any. It's just a regular rivalry game. And the cheapest tickets to get into Cameron tonight are less than, just slightly less than the least expensive ticket to get in the Super Bowl. So we're already at that level with these two teams. That's crazy. That is absolutely crazy. ESPN saying that Villanova and Michigan, the national title game last year, you could get in for $67. Now, granted, they played obviously in a bigger arena than what's at Cameron. And obviously the Super Bowl is a bigger football stadium than Cameron, but still pretty impressive. And this is one of the bigger Duke-North Carolina matchups because, A, both teams are loaded with potential NBA stars, and Zion Williamson playing against North Carolina. I'm sure Duke fans would love, can't wait to see Zion Williamson play North Carolina. Look, Michigan-Ohio State, I mean, look at the rivalries in college sports or in professional sports. Red Sox-Yankees, Michigan-Ohio State, Notre Dame, USC, whatever. I mean, pick your rivalry. Alabama, Auburn. I got more respect for this. There's something about this that I like. I watch it all the time. I watch it every year. I don't even care for either one of the teams. I don't even have a rooting interest in either one of the teams. I'm not a big Duke fan. I probably like North Carolina a little more. But the respect I have for basketball in that area, for the basketball in the Triangle, these two teams, how much they can't stand each other, what the rivalry has been like over the years, how bloody it's been, how controversial it's been. I mean, you name it. It's had it. The amount of superstar players that both teams have had, it's on another level. It's unbelievable. And now this is going to add a chapter. And if you want to go be part of the chapter, come up with about $3,000. You can go see it. Cheapest ticket to get in. When I was finishing up my college career at the University of New Hampshire, the ice hockey team was really popular. And there was only a limited number of tickets. They were like nationally ranked and everything. It was only a limited number of tickets to see the hockey team. And so you had to be in line. And it would be freezing cold. And it was first come, first serve. And then they started getting into a lottery system. When I was at South Carolina, my first year there, South Carolina hosted Clemson. And you had to get into a lottery ticket. I'll never forget, when I was a freshman, I was standing in line for a South Carolina regular season game. It was like against Georgia or whatever it was. And I went up to the ladies, and there was like these older ladies, and they'd been doing this ticket giveaway thing, like where you show your ID and then you get marked off for a ticket. And I went up there and said, like, a ticket to the game, and I showed my ID and I got a ticket. But a friend of mine was telling me, he goes, oh man, he goes, you got to sweeten those ladies up. You sweeten those ladies, they'll get you the better tickets, the better seats to the stadium. It's like, you're going to end up in the nosebleed section if you just go up there and say you want a ticket. So he went up and he let me watch for the side. So he went up and he was like, hey, how y'all doing, ladies? You look mighty tired giving away all them tickets. And they're like, oh yeah, it's been a long day. Well, I tell you what, my dad, he's a huge Georgia fan, and I can't stand them Bulldogs. Nothing would make me happier than if you could just get me a ticket, maybe around the 40-yard line, so I can just watch the Gamecocks just beat up on Georgia so I can pick on my old man. Oh, that is sweet, honey. A sugar pie. Here you go. I tried to do that. I couldn't quite pull that off.
You don't have the right sugar pie?
I didn't quite have the right sugar pie, but he had great seats. He got great seats. He's like, you got to soften those ladies up, man. He goes, they'll give out the goods, you know, the good tickets. You just got to charm them a little bit. Got to use that Southern charm. Offer them to get them something to drink. Y'all want any sweet tea or anything like that? Some lemonade? And they're like, no, we're good. We're all set. Okay, good. I wonder what it's like at Krzyzewskiville where you're freezing in a tent, lying to go to a basketball game. Did anybody come around and offer you hot chocolate? Does Mike Krzyzewski bring pizza? I think he does, doesn't he? Doesn't he give out pizza? Doesn't he send pizza to the guys? I think he does. That's kind of cool. So, nevertheless, I've never had to stay overnight for tickets, though. That seems weird.
I've never done that either. I've never camped out outside.
Yeah.
You know, waited in line for...
For anything, right?
Yeah. I've just never...
I mean, what is this, 1970? What are we doing here with this? Why can't...
Well, I mean, especially now, but, you know, go back to like 20 years when, you know, you and I were in college. I can't picture a time when I would sit there and go, you know what, I'm gonna camp out and wait for these tickets to go on sale.
Yeah, exactly. Like the hockey game I was telling you about was first come, first serve when you went to... People started lining up at like 4 o'clock for a 7 o'clock hockey game, but they weren't there overnight. They didn't pitch a tent and a campfire to get into the hockey game on like a Tuesday. For a Friday night game.
Yeah, I think the only crazy thing like where someone's similar is that my wife did make me go to a Black Friday sale once.
And waited in line to start that?
Well, I showed up late. Because the line was already wrapped around the building. I'm driving through the parking lot, and you know, I see how long the line is. I'm like, I'm not going in there.
When I was dating my wife, we went to go see Titanic when it had come out in theaters, and we waited in line to see Titanic.
Well, no, okay,
I went to the theater and we bought the tickets, and they're like, and the line to get in is way over there.
Okay, that was different. Like, oh. That was back. Nowadays, I like what they're doing where it's assigned seating, where you can choose your seat. But I mean, I've done that. Where you bought your ticket, then you had to wait for the show to start. Then you had to be in a position so you can get a good seat. I've done that. I remember doing that. Now, you know, thank God they got rid of that because that was annoying just sitting
waiting. I mean, I hate that.
But I've never, you know, if there's a good concert coming up or, you know, hey, like you said, you know, first come, first serve for these hockey tickets, I've never waited in line to buy tickets
anything. The only reason that I will support the idea of, because the Rockies had this problem in 2007 when they went to the World Series. They didn't want people, there was so much excitement in Denver for that World Series. They did not want people parked outside Coors Field like for days, because the Rockies had wrapped up their they wrapped up the National League Championship Series pretty early. And it, we had a weather that was like really bad weather that was coming in. And there was talk about the Rockies leaving town for Arizona so they can be in warmth and they can just practice and they could kind of relax a little bit. They ended up staying in town, and but it was some bad weather. And they didn't want people to be outside Coors Field for 2 or 3 days waiting for the tickets to be distributed. So the Rockies announced that you could go online and buy the tickets. But the problem is it crashed the server. And the second problem that people had was when you do that, you open that up for the rest of the world. So you don't get, you're not getting, you can't guarantee that locals are buying your ticket, that the city is buying your ticket, because Red Sox fans around the globe had a chance to get tickets as much as anybody in Colorado. I mean, you could have bought a 20 game plan to, and still have been in competition for World Series tickets with somebody from India who would fly into the game who happened to be a Red Sox fan. Like it's too global when you want to do that. So I can understand when they say, listen, we want to fill it with our guys, with our people, our fans. And in order to do that, we have to physically give you the ticket. So the only way to do that is start lining up, and we'll make it safe and we'll make it fun best we can. But that's the only way to do it. But still, in 2019, we're camping out for tickets? It seems weird. Now, I know in Duke, the person at Duke would tell me, oh, no, that's a tradition. That's going to last forever. Okay, that's great. That's fine. Build a tent, sleep outside, catch pneumonia for all I care. Good luck. It's cool. If you like it, you like it. That's great. I'm saying 2019, there can be a better way. Maybe a virtual Krzyzewskiville, okay, where you have to maybe be on your computer at a certain, I don't know. But camping out seems a little, it seems very 1960, 1970, 80s-ish. That's all I'm saying. So $2,000, $2,500 to see Duke, North Carolina tonight. 2-hour basketball game. And they don't even have a good halftime show. Enjoy your fun. Enjoy Zion tonight at Cameron Indoor Stadium. 800-777-2907. Hit me up on Twitter at Tony D Radio. You can also hit Ron as well at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's, by the way. It's SB Nation AM.
This is Mike Herzing for Let's Talk Wheels, with an automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. Listeners email me every week asking which fuel to use, regular or premium. The answer is in your owner's manual. You remember, it's a small book in the glove box that most people never look at until there's a problem. If it says premium recommended, then that means the higher octane helps performance a little. That's it. If it says premium required, then your engine is really designed for it and you need to use it. Luckily, only a few high-performance and luxury cars need it, not many. Folks, running premium fuel is not giving your car a treat. But what I would do is spend a few cents more per gallon and buy a top-tier fuel. Top-tier fuel has more than the minimum additives and cleaners that your engine really needs. All the major brands are top-tier fuels. Simple rule of thumb, folks. Buy your groceries at the grocery store and get your fuel at a major brand station. This is Mike Herzing with Let's Talk Wheels, brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. For more of my tips, go to letstalkwheels.com, and you can find us on Facebook as Let's Talk Wheels.
To celebrate the Jeep President's Day event, we're creating our own motorcade of the most awarded, best-selling SUV brand ever to hit the road and explore what lies beyond it. Leading the procession is Jeep Wrangler, American legend, and the 2019 Motor Trend SUV of the Year. Following close is Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever, and versatile Jeep Compass with its class-leading technology and connectivity. And rounding it all out is Jeep Cherokee with its nimble 31 mpg highway. But great deals on this motorcade will be coming to an end soon. So hurry in today to the Jeep President's Day event. The Jeep brand and Jeep Grand Cherokee have received more awards over their lifetime than any other SUV or SUV brand. Based on compact SUV segmentation, OEM website, Auto Knowledge, EPA estimated 4-cylinder, 4x2. Actual mileage may vary. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
You're listening to SB Nation AM. on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, you're listening to SB Nation Radio with Tony and Ron. Tony had to step aside real quick. Actually, it wasn't his fault. Mother Nature is getting the best of him right now, so hopefully Tony will be back with us shortly. And to all you people out there dealing with this weather, you know, stay safe. God, I mean, this has just been one crazy, crazy, crazy winter. Not as crazy as, you know, still, I'm still in shock. I'm still in awe over the fact that the Padres actually pulled this off. And, you know, all eyes now are turning to Bryce Harper. Will Bryce Harper sign with the Phillies? I mean, they seem to be the front runners. Will, you know, another team step in and just throw a coup? I mean, the White Sox have been rumored for a while now to be, I think they were the major players to steal Machado. And the fact that that didn't even happen, now they're on the outside looking in. I mean, can they sweep in and say, okay, well, we couldn't land Machado, but we're going to land Harper. But the problem is that they've already admitted that the most that they were going to do was eight years for 250. That's not going to get you Harper. The South Side is going to riot. They're going to be up in arms. They had all this money to play with, and they're going to come away empty-handed from this free agency. I mean, they'll probably end up getting like a free agent here or there, but nothing along the caliber of, you know, signing a big name like Harper or Machado and really making a splash, really making it their division, or starting to compete for that division. Because that division, I mean, really, it's been Cleveland and nobody else. And so they got to bring in a big name talent to really. Really hope to get it going. But yeah, I mean, the fact that Machado's going to love San Diego. I mean, yeah, we talked about it, the weather, you know, the money, that's all great. He's going to immediately become an icon in that city. He's immediately going to, there is a role for him in that city. Whether Major League Baseball can capitalize on, you know, that's something that we'll probably get into coming up next. You're listening to SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.